Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you are listening to Total EM. We are back to talk about tramadol and the issues behind it and why I think of it more as tramadont. Some of you may already know some of this because you listen to other blogs and podcasts, which is great because this can be a bit of spaced repetition for you. But for me, I haven't talked about this before, and I really haven't talked about codeine before, although many of the same issues that show up with tramadol also show up with codeine. Maybe not as bad in certain cases, but in other cases, maybe codeine's a little bit worse. But for today, I just wanted to focus on tramadol specifically and why it is, like I think of it, tramadont in most cases. Let's first start with some basic history. So tramadol was developed in 1962 by the German pharmaceutical company Grünenthal, which also happens to be the same group that brought us thalidomide. And if you remember thalidomide from your studies, then you know that thalidomide was a horrible drug that caused lasting damage. And tramadol wasn't actually licensed in Germany until 1977 and in the USA until 1995. But in that time, it has taken off and it continues to be a widely used medication despite knowing some of these very real and very complex issues that show up. Many view tramadol as a quote-unquote weak opioid and often compare it to codeine, which is why I like to mention the codeine issues too, because it also is not a very wise drug choice in most cases. However, while tramadol binds to mu opioid receptors weakly with an affinity of about 1 in 6,000th that of morphine, it does not contribute much to its analgesic effect. It does inhibit the reuptake of serotonin and norepinephrine, similar to venlafaxine, which is Effexor. Their chemical structures are even very similar in nature, and this makes tramadol more of a serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitor, or an SNRI. However, tramadol is still considered an opioid because of one of its metabolites, which is O-desimethyltramadol, or ODT, with a binding affinity 300 times greater than tramadol. This is where the claim of its dual mechanism of action begins, and some people have been taught on this, especially when the drug reps were coming around and talking about tramadol. They often talked about its dual mechanisms of action. What they're referring to is the SNRI effects as well as the opioid effects. And remember, the opioid effects are secondary to it being metabolized. And this is where the drug problem really begins. A cytochrome P450 enzyme known as CYP2D6, that's the way I think about it, or CYP2D6, but CYP2D6 is how a lot of people refer to this, removes a methyl group to convert tramadol to ODT. The problem is that CYP2D6 activity varies significantly among individuals and ethnic groups. While 3 to 10% of Caucasians may be poor metabolizers, where they have really no real functional CYP2D6, and thus really no opioid benefits from the medication, there are going to be other people, like 2 to 10%, depending on the nationality, that will be ultra-rapid metabolizers, and this can have grave consequences. Again, this reminds me a lot of the same issues that we run across with codeine, where CYP2D6 converts codeine into morphine. And this can lead to unintended overdoses, especially with the frequency that both codeine and tramadol are prescribed in young patients. There's also a host of other problems that come up. Like any other opioid, tramadol can lead to physical dependence and addiction. And I've known some people who have had to carry this burden because they did not know that this was the case, because that was not how it was sold. Some people didn't even know it was an opioid because of how it was pitched to them as a patient. And some were told it was a quote unquote weak opioid, so they wouldn't have any of these issues. And that's just basically a lie. After years of not being listed as a controlled substance, though, tramadol became a Schedule 4 controlled substance in the USA in 2014. Think in comparison, though, oxycodone, hydrocodone have both become Schedule 2 drugs. It has also become a particularly troubling issue in the Middle East and Africa, where it is frequently abused because of the higher CYP2D6 activity in these populations. The interaction with other drugs is another common issue. Certain medications can inhibit CYP2D6, which will then inhibit ODT production. Someone who is readily able to metabolize tramadol before into ODT is now unable or has a significant decrease in that production, which can lead to opioid withdrawal. Additionally, tramadol can lead to hypoglycemia, and this mechanism is not well understood, but we do also see it with venlafaxine, or Effexor again. It may be related to the increased glucose uptake and reduced hepatic glyconeogenesis that occurs. And for this reason, tramadol is particularly concerning to be used in patients with diabetes, but the hypoglycemia can occur outside of diabetes. A much more common and well-known issue with tramadol is that it lowers the seizure threshold. And this is most likely related to the monoaminergic effect the drug has, which means that it works directly on monoamine neurotransmitters, including serotonin and norepinephrine. It has been found to be the leading drug-related cause of new-onset seizures in certain studies, and tramadol, as such, should be avoided in patients with known seizures as well. Finally, it's hard not to mention serotonin syndrome and a drug that affects serotonin. While serotonin toxicity is not common on its own, when combined with other serotonergic drugs, it can lead to such consequences. It is a rare complication, but another fatal one that can be avoided if tramadol was not used in the first place. Overall, tramadol, like codeine, are commonly used opioid medications, but for the reasons that we have just discussed, may not be the best choice for many, if really any, patients. It's unpredictable. It causes a variety of issues. Again, it converts really well in some people into an opioid. In others, it doesn't. It is an SNRI, which complicates things further. It has issues with hypoglycemia. It can cause seizures, and it can cause serotonin syndrome, amongst other things. So as such an unpredictable medication, it would be more effective to choose an opioid that has less complications and concerns with a more direct mechanism of action. For that reason, I'm usually avoiding tramadol and codeine and instead sticking with drugs like hydrocodone and oxycodone, but again, prescribing it smartly. I hope that with you listening to this, you may better realize in this very short podcast why tramadol, and a little bit talking about it as well, codeine, may not be an appropriate drug for most, if really, again, any patients. I would love your feedback on this. I want to know if maybe this has changed your mind, if you even still use it, because again, spaced repetition, a lot of us are starting to understand that this is not a wise choice in pain control. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.